Hi, this is Shannon Storms-Bedore, Real Housewife of Orange County and entrepreneur. When my company, Real for Real, started selling our health products online, we really struggled to find a way to ship our orders out quickly and without error until we started using ShipStation. ShipStation's simple dashboard makes it easy to automate shipping tasks and effortlessly manage your orders from every marketplace, including Amazon, Etsy, Shopify, and more. Print shipping labels, easily compare rates and delivery times, and take advantage of discounts up to 84% off USPS and UPS rates. And with enterprise solutions that make warehouse optimization easy, ShipStation scales when your business does. No wonder 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. Spend more time growing your business and start automating shipping tasks with ShipStation. Go to ShipStation.com/audio today and sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
All righty, we continue. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, hour number 4 of our radio program. Busy show it's been today. The Jonathan Taylor news, big topic of conversation. The Colts have given him permission to seek a trade. Hickey's freaking out about that. He's so frustrated. And, man, I don't think his mood's got any better throughout this show. You look just really lost right now. Where a lot of times when people are going through some tough times, they turn to food. You have some good food tonight. You have tortellini with a little cacio pepe sauce. That would be some good comfort food. But during the break, I kind of looked over there. It was like half devoured. I thought that entire thing would be gone because you need to kind of eat your feelings away tonight.
Well, I am hungry, but also I'm not. I'm not because my brain is half distracted because the stupid franchise and how they handle things. And now got another podcast to record and more stress to worry about. When again, it's about the quarterback, not the running back. And they always make it about the running back. And it does not need to be. So it's very frustrating. So yes, I'm hungry, but I'm also, then I forget to eat because all my attention is on this show. And then when it's not on this show, it's on remembering, oh yeah, by the way, Jonathan Taylor now is allowed to seek a trade and more unwanted drama is surrounding his organization.
Do you need a day tomorrow?
No, I'll be here. I come in every day.
What are you doing Friday, by the way?
I'm taking off. I'm showing my friend the sights.
I'm off Friday.
I'm celebrating
as well.
I'm the Colts' end of training camp and hopefully one quiet day. That's what I'm celebrating.
What are you that annoyed about? Your team stinks. Your team's going to be bad this year. They have no future right now. You have a quarterback that it's all based off potential. He didn't really light it up in college outside of 2 games last year. Jonathan Taylor has, what, 3 more really good prime years left probably? The Colts aren't going to the playoffs the next 2 seasons, so get what you can get for him right now. And don't let this team attack you and destroy you and tear you down and really just mess with you right now. You got to let it roll over.
No, here's my problem. I'm not telling you they're going to be good when Jonathan Taylor's on the team. I have acknowledged that and fine. That's no problem. But the quarterback is the future. That is the opportunity to get out of the doldrums of the AFC South and get to the top and push the Jaguars, maybe push them off to the side
and be in a Super Bowl contender
category in 3, 4, 5 years from now. And a way to get his development faster, quicker, better is by having one of the best offensive players in the league next to you. He does not get Anthony Richardson is not going to be a better quarterback because Deion Jackson is standing next to him. So you can't. He's not getting my point. He's already has a big, steep learning curve. He's a project. How do you make his transition from Florida, where he had 13 starts to the NFL, easier? By putting skilled players around him. The Chiefs did it with Patrick Mahomes. The Colts are now doing the total opposite. They're running the opposite direction with Anthony Richardson. It's maddening. It's stupid.
Just do me a favor here. Just give me the number. No further explanation. I want to do a little exercise here. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 no confidence, 10 all the confidence in the world. Where's your confidence in this Colts offensive line for this upcoming season?
Number 1 to 10?
Yes. Just the number. Bad year last year for the offensive line. They are paid a lot of dinero. Where's your confidence? 1 to 10. 1 no confidence, 10 all the confidence in the world. Just the offensive line.
I will say 5.5.
5.5. So pretty much 50-50. Where is your confidence in the skill position players entering this season? That's the offensive skill position players. Running backs, four? Wide receivers, tight ends.
No, Jonathan Taylor, four.
Where's your confidence that Anthony Richardson one day will be your franchise quarterback?
I'll say 5.5 again.
Gotcha. Because you have talked yours. You know who you are? You're Kyle Shanahan. You were Kyle Shanahan. You didn't love it. Like, 2 weeks before the draft, you would not have loved the Anthony Richardson thing. And then you realized that was going to be the pick, and you were talked into it. So I think now you have convinced yourself that Anthony Richardson, even though you just said 5.5, which is a respectable number, but you are now more optimistic than you would have been about Anthony Richardson 2 weeks before the draft, a month before the draft, 3 months before the draft. And I just think because, and right, you could argue my team did it. You asked them to go draft a quarterback, asked them to go draft the guy. Just because you draft the guy, or, you know, or you draft a guy doesn't mean that you have the guy. And that's a tough thing because when you draft a quarterback in the first round, you hope he turns out to be the guy. But I think there's still a lot of doubt in your mind that he's going to be the guy, if that makes sense.
Well, my frustration is coming from not even from anything Anthony Richardson is doing. At it's least how the team is acting. Yeah. Which, like, if he's going to fail, if at the end of the year or at the end of the day, in 4 or 5 years from now, he's not the quarterback and he flames out, I want it to be because he stinks. Because he can't play the position. I don't want it to be because, well, the offensive line, they were not all in on that, and the receivers kind of stunk, and they never gave him really a chance. I think Shane Steichen's legit as a head coach. I look around the offense. I don't feel great right now. I do not at all. And again, I think it's an overlooked aspect or not talked about enough. Part of how you develop a young quarterback and have him succeed is by putting really good pieces around him.
Yeah.
And they are, again, they have one. Maybe not the position you want, but they have one.
And Taylor,
and now they're going to give Jonathan Taylor or possibly trade Jonathan Taylor and only make what is a steep learning curve and a tough offense already to have success with even that much more difficult.
You know what I may do for you? I may go to the store tomorrow, get some chocolate chip cookies, and I may bake you some chocolate chip cookies tomorrow. I feel like you need to pick me up.
Cookies will not do it. I'll tell you right now. The only thing that'll do it is if Jonathan Taylor signs a new contract and he's there and all of a sudden now the ankle magically heals and he's ready to play.
Chocolate chip cookies makes everyone feel better. I'll even use an example that's right up your alley. When my Patriots back in 2006, it's maybe the most painful loss of my football fandom. Maybe. When they had that big lead in the AFC Championship game and they lost it, my uncle had a box of Edmund, however you say it. How do you say the cookies? I can never say that right.
Entenmann's?
Yeah. For some reason, I could just never say that word. He had the Entenmann cookies, and we devoured those cookies afterwards. Like, don't get me wrong. It's still painful. But some good cookies makes you feel a little bit better. Just a little bit. I'm not saying I'm looking to cure you and make you feel great. I'm just looking, Hickey, to bring a little bit of sunshine into your life and make your life a little bit better. And I think some cookies would do that.
This is my issue. I'm truly a sicko here. Like, food does not help when it comes to, like, losses. Or, like, in a situation like this where I'm really frustrated. I got, like,
eases the pain
fire in my stomach right now burning from my frustration.
Yeah.
And cookies, some pasta, ice cream, you name it, it's not going to help. It's not going to do any
favors.
That's
why you're not a man's man.
But anyway, I'm a man's man because nothing can cure my pain outside of my team succeeding. That's a real man.
Hickey.
That's how real men feel.
You always say that you're a real man. You're a man's man.
I am a man's man.
No, I'm telling you, you're not. Because this is what men do. Your football team loses, for example. And I've not been very overly emotional for my football team because I was in the penthouse for 20 years. And the last 3-4 years, they have not been successful, but it's not as if my team is in football purgatory. But after that Raider loss, where Jacoby Myers was playing hot potato with the football, I left the studio after I did my show, did my work obligations, right? Got to finish the job, and I ordered ice cream. I ordered soft serve ice cream with cookie dough in it, with M&Ms in it, Nutella Crunch in it, whipped cream, graham cracker, like everything. And I sat there and ate the ice cream. That's what you got to do. It's not going to make you totally feel better, but it makes you just a little bit feel better. And that's all you need. And you got to have your comfort foods in life. And Hickey, as I look at you, as you look a little emaciated, with how much sports pain you go through, I know that you're not after a Penn State game, you're not going to Are You Hungry and eating. It's going to feel weird saying this. It's the name of the sandwich, folks. Eating a fat bitch. Well, that's the name of the sandwich. You got to go do that. Get that chicken cutlet with the French fries and what are they else? They put like bacon on that. You got to just eat fattening when your team is just torturing you because there's nothing you could do. You could sit there, you could bitch and complain, do the podcast tonight with George. Oh, I'm so upset. Oh, it's not working out. Oh, the Colts are a dysfunctional mess. Oh, it's ridiculous. I'm going to sound like the guy that's Jimmy Fallon's friend in Fever Pitch. You love the Colts, Hickey, but have the Colts ever loved you back? Have they? Have they ever loved you back?
They did bring the only championship I've ever seen, so yes.
But they haven't loved you back enough. You got to just let it go. Let it go, Hickey. Let the Colts go. You just got to let them go. Pick a new football team.
I'll tell you this. If they trade Jonathan Taylor for like a fifth-round pick, which is basically nothing, no food is going to make me feel any better, and no food is going to make me hate them any less.
Cookies will.
They won't. No, it will not. All's gonna, it's going to make me fat. Then I'm even more upset that I'm fat and upset.
Oh, please. You can have a few cookies. You're in good shape. You're not going to be fat. Let me ask you this. Is your girlfriend Lolly? She a good baker? She bakes some good food.
She can hold her own. She does well.
What's the dessert that you love that she makes? And any time she makes it, you're like, I'm dating the greatest girl in the world.
We don't really bake a lot of desserts. She makes good cookies, really good cookies.
Okay, I'm gonna contact Lolly tonight. You need to make my man Hot Take Hickey, your man Lolly, some chocolate chip cookies. And just when you go to sleep tonight, do not wear any Colts gear. Put that head in the pillow. She definitely has some Colts gear, right?
Her, no. She's not, I don't buy her clothes.
She watches those games with you, and you haven't got her any Colts gear? You're like, oh, you know, come support my team. You guys live together. You don't do that?
I don't buy her Penn State clothes, or she doesn't have any Mets shirts because of me. Like, I don't know. It's
lame, man.
I think it's weird. I don't know. Like, I don't think it's weird for me. Like, if she wants to on her own, like, I don't want to force her to do it. I want her to enjoy it. And unfortunately, especially now that we live together for a year, and we live together what was a very painful year last year, she did not enjoy watching Colts games with me. I can tell you that right now.
So does she leave the house on a football Sunday and say, I just got to distance myself from him? He's crazy, out of control, just wild?
No. I mean, I will say it's probably a little bit crazier with Penn State, and she's kind of pushed through that. She sees some bad losses.
Yeah,
so.
But there's only really two Penn State games this year that you got to get up for. There's only two. All the other games, a bunch of cupcake games.
Well, I'm saying you got to win bare minimum one. It doesn't lessen the, if anything, it only ups the intensity.
No, I'm saying, but there only should be two games that you go crazy for this year. Like if she asks you to go apple picking before the Illinois game or the Delaware game, you're really going to put up a big fight here? You got to be locked in and you can't watch that game on your phone or something like that?
She's well aware that the fall's for the most part off limits.
All right, what about the UMass game?
UMass, maybe. I'll make an exception for UMass.
Yeah, it's October Otherwise. 14th, early Halloween party, if she wants to drag you to on that Saturday. Let's say at like 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern, right before kick.
Well, so really I got to look at the schedule. It's not just Penn State here. It's what else we got going on? I mean, Penn State, UMass sucks, sure, but you can have Tennessee, Alabama that weekend. All
Good
of a sudden, we're talking about a meal.
Rocky Top.
I gotta be locked in. Can't be, you know, apple picking while we got a big SEC matchup.
Yeah, you barely do that Saturday night show anymore.
Pac-12 slate is loaded.
In? What are you talking about? You barely do your show anymore, that Hick at Night show?
Well, the show's over before college football even starts.
I know, but you like take the entire summer off. I would love to be Hickey these days. Got bad sports teams and just you're constantly on
vacation.
Why would
you want to meet with bad sports teams? That's all. It's awful.
I think it'd kind of be fun.
Do you want, you know, and you don't really have a lot of good players anyway, so I can't even say Mac Jones will cross some trade. What's that going to do? But, you know, you don't want my pain. That's all I got to say. You don't want my pain. Trust me. I wish I could trade the Mets for anybody. I wish I could trade right now Jim Irsay for anyone. You don't want what I got.
You want my guy, Robert Kraft?
Robert Kraft's a great owner.
Oh.
He's a great owner.
Yeah, all you do is trash him every time you get.
I don't like Robert Kraft personally. He also owns the team I hate the most, but I've said it plenty of times. I respect the hell out of how much he wants to win. And he's a great owner.
There's only two Penn State games that you really have to get up for this year. Ohio State and Michigan. Oh, only really two games you got to watch. Ohio State, well, October 21st, and then Michigan, November 11th.
That's the one people will be. Those are the games you got to bare minimum go 1-1 in, without a doubt.
You going to either of those games? You going to the Horseshoe? You going to...
I will not be going to the Horseshoe.
Happy Valley?
Mike in Texas is very nice himself. I have heard horrendous things from friends that have gone to Ohio State. They are, to say nicely, not very good people. So I will not be going to the Shoe. That's for damn sure.
But what? Like, so, hold on. I think that's such a lame take. You think you go to a Penn State game, you don't have crazy fans saying crazy things to you?
You look it up. That they got a reputation.
And Penn
they
State
do
doesn't?
Have a reputation.
I'm just saying, in general, that's like the, it's the same thing with those 49ers fans. All they did was bitch about how two of their talk show hosts got basically booed and cursed out going into the NFC title game. Did you see the video of the 49ers fans at the preseason game over the weekend? Slugging the crap out of everyone? And I said this when I went on their show. Every fan base has bad fans. If you get in a fight at a sporting event, you are a moron. But I always find it funny how fan bases go, have you seen that fan base? And then when you go, oh, what about your own fan base? It's like, oh, no, it doesn't go on like how it happens there. Fights happen at every sporting event. Stupid. It's the dumbest. It's like one of the dumbest things you could do. But can we just all admit it? Every fan base has morons that do really stupid and violent and lethal things at sporting events. But sports fans, like the dumbest thing, they try to justify. Oh, yeah, that happened, but that fan base is worse. Come on. You have alcohol involved in this, and you have people drinking all day. Some people can hold it. Other people go to a sporting event, and they just do dumb things because it's about the passion of their team. So, like... You're really telling me you go everywhere for Penn State football. That's where you draw the line. You wouldn't go to Ohio State football game.
That's right. Yeah, I'm not going to Ohio State.
Never.
Michigan, I'm sure I wouldn't have a problem in. I've been to Wisconsin. Tremendously nice people. Oh, I have heard some things from Ohio State. And a lot of other, by the way, I've talked to other fan bases. Agree. I'm not going to the show.
So what happens? You go there. Now, you could act like an idiot when you go there.
But this is, I do not. But I'm respectful. I don't seek out fights. Again, I'm not someone who is making themselves, I'll wear a Penn State shirt, but I'm not going to also go up to you in enemy territory and scream in your face, Penn State's here, you know, get ready for the noise. Not that kind of person.
I've seen videos of you drunk walking out of a stadium.
You
may not be doing it intentionally, and I'm not saying that, like, you're asking for it, but... You could do something that maybe annoys somebody else at a sporting event.
If someone's upset that I'm making a drunk video of Penn State being back after beating Utah in the Rose Bowl, then you're soft. I'm sorry. I'm not going up to Utah fans screaming the score in their face.
I don't know.
I'm not going to Utah fans saying, you suck.
I don't know about that. I just don't know.
Not my style.
But you really wouldn't go to a football game. What have you heard that's so bad about the Ohio State football?
They try to fight you. They're in your face. They're nasty. They are the aggressors. Which, again, you're going to an opponent's stadium. You're in enemy territory to begin with. But I have heard some things that they take it a little too far.
And you think it's vastly different than any other fan base?
Yes.
All right.
You take a poll of Big Ten fans. They by far would say the Ohio State fan base is by far the worst. Without a doubt.
Because they've been the most successful last 10 years? That's not even an opinion.
That is basically a fact.
No, it is an opinion. Just because you say it's basically a fact.
Let's get some Big Ten fans on the line. They would all say the same.
But hold on. I don't ever defend Ohio State. I screamed up they lost the NCAA tournament OHNO. I love when Michigan kicked the crap out of them the last 2 years. But you trying to make it out like you would go to Ohio State game and you wouldn't survive is ridiculous.
I'm not saying I wouldn't survive. I'm just saying, like, I don't have any inclination to go there. That's all. Big difference.
So Penn State undefeated going into that Ohio State game. It's like 2-3. You're saying now I'm going to watch that one on the couch.
That's right.
Bull crap.
Now, a few weeks later, you get to Michigan coming to Penn State. Different story.
I don't know. You taking off that Friday? I don't think that's a good thing to be taking off that Friday.
No one said be taking off Friday. They can make things work.
At 12 p.m. Eastern?
Only 4 hours from the city. Bing, bang, boom.
So you would do the 6 a.m. show and then get there by kickoff?
Oh, absolutely. Can make it by kickoff. Without a doubt.
Okay. We'll revisit that. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Let's take a break. We'll come on back. We'll do a little onside, offside.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. HTH, what do you got?
Biggest story of the day, Zach, is Jonathan Taylor. 3 weeks after requesting a trade, the Colts are now granting that in the sense that they are allowing Jonathan Taylor to seek a trade and contact teams. Now, according to reports from ESPN, the Colts, in return for Jonathan Taylor, are looking for either a first-round pick or multiple picks that add up to a first-round pick. Now, Diana Rossini, now The Athletic, is reporting that Jonathan Taylor is looking for a big deal and that the contract is what's going to hold up teams from trading for him, not the draft compensation. So, onsides or offsides, Zach, Jonathan Taylor will both be traded and get paid by a new team.
I'm going to say offside.
Offside.
I think it's like 60-40 right now. Where if I'm the Colts, I would do it. But we've seen the running back market right now. It has not been very generous to running backs. It would not shock me if one owner was willing to give up the capital and then also pay him like 4 years, $14 million a year, guarantee like anywhere between 25 to 28 million. That would not shock me. But we've seen players like Austin Ekeler try to go elsewhere. And I know Jonathan Taylor is younger and nothing ended up coming to fruition. So I think there's a chance, but right now I lean that he'll be on the Colts more so than he'll be elsewhere for this upcoming season.
Last week, James Harden.
I had a kind of a Jerry Jones moment during this show.
Meaning?
So earlier today, if you would have said to me, Hickey, if you brought up the Ohio State fans, I probably would have loved what you just said in the last segment. I don't want to say I got dragged by Ohio State fans today, but I did have to deal with some of their stupidity today. And then the last segment, I find it funny how I was defending them. In regards to you just being afraid to go to the horseshoe this year to go see a game there.
I don't say afraid. I just would choose not to go there.
You don't want to go. You're
not
afraid.
Deal with the folks that I'll be sitting near. What did you say about Ohio State that got them riled up?
So when the whole Michigan thing came out that Michigan is self-imposing a 3-game suspension on Jim Harbaugh. I took like 10 seconds from myself eating that burger in support of Jim Harbaugh, where I said something along the lines of, F the NCAA, this is all over cheeseburgers, free Jim Harbaugh. And I had a bunch of Ohio State fans go, you know, the NCAA has already said that this has nothing to do with cheeseburgers. Maybe you should do a little bit more homework. Like, yeah, because whatever the NCAA says, I'm just supposed to trust and believe. 1,000%. And like, I had some other guy go, well, Zach, I didn't hear you have this energy when Jim Tressel was getting the short end of the stick. Yeah, I was in high school. What do you want me to do? Get in front of a microphone and yell when I was in high school? So the Ohio State fans, like all fans, they could be delusional. We all know that. A lot of fans are delusional. But I did find it funny that I was defending Ohio State fans, where before the show, I never thought that would have been a thing. So you bring out the best in me, Hickey.
Well, let's stay right on topic then. Forget about James Harden. We'll circle back to him in a second here. Michigan, you just mentioned.
Who?
James Harden.
Oh, okay.
I said James Harden, and you said, well, you know, funny, ironic, had Jerry Jones moment. So
gotcha.
Didn't want to leave, you know, or pretend I'm ignoring James Harden, but I figured let's just stick with the Michigan-Ohio State topic. Michigan announced today, you just said, they are self-imposing a 3-game ban for Ohio State, for Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh that will start this year in 2023. The 3 games he will miss: East Carolina.
Cupcake.
UNLV.
Cupcake.
Bowling Green.
Cupcake.
Oofa. The suspension now comes down because a few weeks ago, a negotiated 4-game suspension between Harbaugh and the NCAA was rejected by the Committee on Infractions. Now, the goal for Michigan in self-imposing this 3-game suspension is to hopefully, in their mind, lessen what could be a harsher suspension in 2024.
Yeah.
Onsides or offsides? This will be Jim Harbaugh's final year as Michigan head coach.
I wonder if enough of the schedule is out next year for Michigan.
Texas week two. The non-conference is out. The conference schedule, when you add USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington, is not out yet. But the non-con.
So that game is already scheduled where it's Texas
at
the Big House, September 7th.
Week two. So you would assume he's missing that game.
I give Michigan a lot of credit here now. Because you know what I said to you a few weeks ago? That if they had Alabama week three, the NCAA would be like, oh, we need Harbaugh on the sidelines there. That's better. And now they wanted four. They just imposed the three-game suspension. Next year, it would be Fresno State in week one. That's August 31st. And then the next week, it's Texas. They're basically telling the NCAA, you want to pull Jim Harbaugh off the sideline? Because they're going to give him another game bare minimum. It's probably more than that since they negotiated four and then it was rejected or wasn't approved to get to four. So you would think logically that the NCAA wants more than four games, but I would be shocked. Absolutely shocked if it ends up being more than four now, because then he'd be missing the Texas game, Hickey. And there's no way the NCAA wants him missing that Texas game.
Well, I'd be shocked if he's coaching that Texas game. There's no way.
Well, hold on. That's a different conversation.
No, I'm saying even if he's the Michigan coach in 2024, there's no way.
He'll be coaching that Texas game.
They rejected that four-game suspension. They wanted blood.
But now
and they knew it's going to go in 2024. They want to send a message. This
now
three-game
they
suspension does not do anything.
Now they self-impose. It knocks some of it off. I'm telling you, they are not. Logically, what you just said would make sense. But now looking at that schedule, you think those frauds, those losers, those phonies at the NCAA that are like, oh, Jim lied to us. Oh, Jim lied to us. Now we got to prove a point. The NCAA is really not going to have him on the sideline for that Texas game. BS.
Why did they reject the four-game suspension in the first place then?
He'll come out with an apology. If he's still there, he'll bend the knee, do something stupid. I'm telling you, if he's at Michigan, he will be coaching that Texas game next year. There is no doubt about it in my mind. Now, to your question, this will be Jim Harbaugh's final year as Michigan head coach. I think because Jim Harbaugh's at the NCAA, I think he's happy with this job, but he's annoyed with the NCAA. He now wants to leave. Shifting gears totally. I think he wants to leave. The question becomes, will there be another team in the NFL that wants to give him that opportunity? Because the last 2 years, there's been rumors, right? Remember the 10-hour interview with the Minnesota Vikings? No one ever offered him the job. If he gets offered an NFL job, he is gone. He is leaving. I don't know if he will, but right now I will bank on one NFL owner, maybe the one that just awkwardly had a handshake with Joe Buck on ESPN's broadcast, where Joe Buck is just pulling a Hickey, pulling to me, talking with our hands. The next thing you know, Josh Harris through an interview, he thought Joe Buck was going in for a handshake. Awkward. Troy Aikman's laughing about it. Would not shock me whatsoever if Jim Harbaugh's coaching potentially the Washington Commanders, just for starters, next year. So you asked me, this will be Jim Harbaugh's final year as Michigan head coach. I will say onside.
All right, now back to James Harden. Right, last week he was in China and called Daryl Morey a liar and said he will never play for him again.
And
now,
he repeated it. Oh.
He repeated it twice for emphasis. We have learned today why Harden is calling Daryl Morey, president of basketball operations for the Sixers,
now,
a liar.
Now, before you continue, it has to be, right, that Daryl Morey guaranteed him that he would be traded, or scratch that, that Daryl Morey guaranteed that he was going to give him a new contract, right? Going back to last year? Oh, if you take the reduced salary, everyone told me, right? Every Harden fan said that they guaranteed James Harden a new contract if he took a pay cut, right? That's the answer, correct, Tiki?
Well, according to Shams Charania, apparently, Morey promised Harden that he will be traded quickly once he opted into his almost $36 million player option. And then, as we learned about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, Philly has since reneged on that and has taken Harden off the trade market with intentions to keep him on the roster for this upcoming season.
Mm.
Onsides or offsides, James Harden is in the right in feeling lied to and betrayed by Daryl Morey.
I can't stand Daryl Morey. I think he's one of the more overrated executives in sports.
James Harden, though, I can't give him the benefit of the doubt. He does this everywhere he goes. Even if Daryl Morey said to you, I'll trade you quickly, you trusted him and you opted in. You could have opted out, but you knew down deep no other team was going to pay you that $35, $36 million. So you could have had your right to go choose anywhere. You wouldn't have got what you're going to get paid by the Sixers. So even if Daryl Morey says, I'll trade you quickly, it doesn't mean that Daryl Morey needs to be taken advantage of. Like, for example, here's what I'll give you this analogy, Hickey. My sister wants to move back to New York. They live in Colorado right now. My sister, her husband, and my niece. They live in Colorado right now. They're struggling right now to find a house in New York. They told me that they're going to move back to New York quickly. If they can't find the house, they can't move here. So it's like the same thing with James Harden. Daryl Morey could have said, I intend to trade you quickly, but if he's getting no offers and it's basically a crappy deal, he doesn't just have to trade you, Hickey. And also, I don't know how much I believe James Harden when he says that Daryl Morey said that he would definitely trade him quickly. So you ask me, James Harden is right in feeling lied to by Daryl Morey. I don't even know if James Harden was lied to here. I don't trust Daryl Morey, but I really don't trust James Harden. So I will say offside here, because at the end of the day, James Harden could have opted out of the contract.
But offside.
All right, let's go back to some college football, Zach. The Associated Press preseason All-American team was released today. And to no one's surprise, reigning Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams was named first-team quarterback, followed by UNC's Drake May as the quarterback for the second team. Now, a lot of quarterbacks that finished high in the Heisman behind Caleb Williams have since graduated and moved on to the NFL. You have Washington's Michael Penix Jr. is currently right now the returning quarterback that received the most votes for the Heisman Trophy behind, obviously, Caleb Williams. So I'll ask you this, onsides or offsides? Drake May.
Wait, say that again. The Michael Penix part?
He is the returning quarterback that received the most Heisman votes.
Oh, the returning. Gotcha.
Caleb
I was going to be like, weren't we talking to Stetson Bennett and Max Duggan at the Heisman? But they're both not back.
Both gonzo. Hendon gotcha. Hooker, gonzo, leaves Michael Penix Jr. number two for returning QBs, not May. Onsides or offsides, Drake May will be a top two quarterback in college football this season.
So how do I define this? Is this just who's going to be the second quarterback drafted this year?
We'll say Heisman Trophy voting. When it's all said and done, we'll see Drake May as a top two Heisman vote getter for quarterbacks.
Oh, I'll go offside on that.
Offside.
Because you're also going to need the team success too. And that does factor into it. And the ACC is up for grabs. People are either picking Florida State or Clemson. You know, is it possible that UNC makes a run? But I don't think Drake May is going to have enough team success where he's going to be a Heisman finalist in New York this year.
And finally, ESPN's Dan Graziano ranked every division in the NFL from hardest to weakest this season and declared the AFC East as the toughest division in the league. Now, obviously, that division consists of Bills, Dolphins, Jets, all three of those teams, either playoff or Super Bowl contenders. Patriots still do employ the
Say
greatest head coach
fast.
In league history. Cannot.
Yeah.
Sheesh. Behind the AFC East was the AFC North, followed by the AFC West, 1, 2, 3 hardest divisions in the league this year. Onsides or offsides, you agree that the AFC East is the toughest division in the NFL this season.
So right when the offseason started, I would probably say no on that. But now as we get closer to the start of the season, from top to bottom, the AFC East is the best division in football entering this year. The North would be two, and then I would say it's the I would go AFC West 3. The NFC East isn't bad, because the Eagles are a Super Bowl contender, and they're expected to go to Super Bowl again this year. The Cowboys will win 12 games, and the Giants made the playoffs last year. The Commanders almost made the playoffs. So the NFC, when you look at the NFC, is the NFC East the best division in the NFC? I would say so. South stinks. West, Rams have fallen off. Cardinals are going to be bad. I like the Seahawks. I like the Niners. And in the North, it's a lot of teams that they got to prove it. So from from top to bottom, what's better, AFC West or NFC East for that third spot, in your opinion?
AFC West.
Chargers, good. Chiefs, great. Broncos and Raiders are a big question mark. They are. But then also you could argue the Commanders and Giants are question marks too. Yeah, I would say those are the four best divisions in football in that order. AFC East 1, AFC North 2, AFC West 3, and then the NFC East in the fourth spot. So the AFC East is the toughest division in the NFL this season. Onsides. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. By the way, make sure you think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We'll do the closing bell next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Before we get to the closing bell, just want to play you some audio. This is from Dwight Freeney with us going back to July 31st. We already knew there was a trade request out there from Jonathan Taylor. The Colts, though, weren't going to comply. Remember, Jim Irsay said, we're not going to trade him today. We find out from Ian Rappaport at the NFL Network that the Colts are allowing Jonathan Taylor to explore a potential trade and see what's out there. Let me just revisit this from July 31st. Colts legend Dwight Freeney with us, and he explained why the Colts are still the best team for Jonathan Taylor in 2023.
If I was him, this would be a perfect place for me to stay. You know, when the market is kind of in flux and you don't know, stay home. Stay where people know you and people love you, all right? Especially with this new system that they're going to be putting in, all these RPOs, it's going to be a run-heavy offense. You have an opportunity to put up big, big numbers. This is where you need to be. I don't know where you think you're going to go.
And now Jonathan Taylor's going to find that out because it's two things. Are you looking for a new team and a new deal? Or are you just looking for a new team and you'll address the contract at a later date? I think it's the first, where he's looking for the new team and a new deal. I don't know how large that list is going to be. I think there'll be a few teams that will be interested, but will they actually pull the trigger? That's what we'll have to wait and see. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
You know, I got to do a little pick-me-up here for my guy, Hot Take Hickey. It's a bad day for him. Jonathan Taylor now looking to go elsewhere. The team is granting him that right. He's going to try to explore to see if they get a deal to get done. And that means my guy Hickey's just in a miserable mood today. So I'm giving a stock up to Hot Take Hickey for just being a wonderful, tremendous producer here at CBS Sports Radio. And even though he says some crazy things and he's like just has these ridiculous hot takes from time to time, he always tries his best. And no one, well, I don't know if that's true, but there's not a lot of people that work harder than Hot Take Hickey is what I'm trying to say. So give Hot Take Hickey a stock up. Look at this. It's a Monday. What a start to the week, Hickey. Get a little pick you up, a little stock up.
I appreciate the compliment. I would trade that compliment in a second for Jonathan Taylor to be on the Colts.
I think, by the way, the Mariners are a dangerous baseball team to transition. And it would not surprise me whatsoever if they're in the World Series this year. They got to make the playoffs first, but they've won 6 in a row. They're on their way to winning 7 in a row, as they have a 9-1 lead in the top of the 6 up against the White Sox. They got hot last year. Their first 3 pitchers in the rotation are absolutely dominant. That's a team that's really dangerous. Give the Seattle Mariners a stock up. Sam Howell, it felt like he was named the starting quarterback in the offseason, but now he's officially named QB1 by the Washington Commanders, so give Sam Howell a stock up. Jordan Love, a good performance the other night. I go crazy over preseason games. It's like, all right, whatever. But he did a nice job, and that's all you could ask for is what they ask you to do. Just go out there and ace the test. And he did a nice job. He definitely got a passing grade. Threw a touchdown pass. Was 5 of 8 in the contest up against my Pats. Threw for 84 yards. And I'm really curious what Jordan Love's going to do this year. He handled everything the right way in the last few years, and I'm wishing him nothing but the best, but give Jordan Love a stock up. The Yankees, Oh, it's really ugly. The Yankees are going to miss the playoffs. I predicted that at the All-Star break. But the Yankees now have taken it to a new low. They're 1-9 in the last 10, and they've lost 8 in a row. The New York Yankees. Man, that team's just a disaster right now. And probably Hickey, Cashman, and Boone will be back next year. Which, if you're a Yankee fan, you're probably going nuts about, so stock down. Do you think Cashman and Boone will both be back?
Boone, no. Cashman, yes. Which is not going to do anything anyway.
Which, Cashman's really calling the shots, and Boone's kind of like the puppet here, so you would think the reverse thing should happen, but hey, it is what it is. Josh Jacobs, according to Vinny Bonsignore, he is expected to show up week one. Now, I have no problem what Josh Jacobs did. If I was on the franchise tag, I wouldn't show up for training camp as well. And maybe you get a few incentives here, but running backs, they can complain a lot. And I understand why they're complaining. And Jacobs, I didn't have a problem with the way that he handled it, but he's not really going to win anything here. And it's just unfortunate if you're a running back, so stock down. Jim Harbaugh's future at Michigan. 3-game self-imposed suspension. Probably going to be more next year if he is, in fact, the head coach at Michigan. I think he wants an NFL job, and all you need is one team to give him an offer, and I think he is gone. So he's stocked down to Jim Harbaugh's future at Michigan. And finally, all those 49ers fans that were just attacking Eagles fans at the NFC Championship game. Oh, the fans behaved disgracefully. How about your fans at the preseason game? Tried to tell you guys, there's jackasses in every fan base. Every single fan base. And once again, PSA. You get into a fight at a sporting event, you are a moron, an absolute moron, and you should be banned for life from that stadium. So give a stock down to 49ers fans. At a preseason game. Idiots. You were in that fight, you're a moron. All right, it's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Hot Take Hickey. Also, big thanks to Joey McGuire, Anthony Lyman, and Bob Soucy. We'll be back tomorrow as the fun gets started, 6 p.m. Eastern. 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye.